tweet at Today SOR.
Now, we're going to talk to Tracy Coyne a little later about how you can make the most of the autumn foraging and other matters. Now, we're going to talk about books because it's time for our monthly roundup. Joining me now with the recommendations are young Dublin writer Rob Doyle from Crumlin, who recently published his debut novel, Here Are the Young Men, also here, Idel Coffee. And the book, just to give it a bit of the background, Rob, it says here, as they face the void of their post-school lives, Matthew, Rez, Cocker and Carney spend their first summer of freedom in a savage apprenticeship on the streets of Dublin, roaming aimlessly through the city. Fueled by drugs and dark fantasies, the teenagers spiral into self-destruction, fleeing a reality they despise.
Yes.
And there are laughs as well.
There are plenty of laughs. Yeah, it doesn't sound like there are, but I'd say it's a fairly humorous book.
We'll take your word for it. I look forward to reading it. Here Are the Young Men. Now, Idel, you're going to start us off with a new book from a very well-known and much admired writer.
Yeah, David Nicholls. This is pretty much one of the biggest fiction events of this year. David Nicholls' book, One Day. I had this book pressed on me by so many men with tears in their eyes, Sean.
I succumbed as well.
It just seems like it was one of the, it touched a lot of people, including women as well. And it was just one of those books about a man and a woman, their relationship, their friendship from college and how they really loved each other. And it just seemed to touch people on a huge level. And it was turned into that film with Anne Hathaway. So this is his new book. It's called Us, and it is coming this month, and it's going to be a huge global event. It's this basically takes on a man and a woman, a couple again, who their son is leaving home, and it brings up all those issues.
I'm there already.
So there's a lot of discovering themselves as well. So
Rob, Carl Whitney's Hidden City.
Yeah, Hidden City. So the subtitle is Adventures and Explorations in Dublin, and that's what it is. It's a non-fiction book about Dublin City, but what makes it interesting is that he's talking about those parts of the city that we wouldn't normally get to read about or to hear about in this kind of literature. And it's an exercise in psychogeography, which is this kind of literary tradition of roaming around, drifting around, and trying to get new perspectives on the urban environment. So
I read in the notes that there are echoes of Tim Robinson's Connemara series.
Well, it's a good comparison. Yeah, again, it's that psychogeographical tradition. Tim Robinson would be another practitioner of
it.
But
this is a new book coming as well.
Does he? Another one on Connemara? Yeah, probably. But no, this is all about Dublin, and it's about those kind of fringes of Dublin, Tala, and there's a chapter there about the hidden rivers beneath the Liberties, which is very eye-opening. You find out lots of things about the city that you thought you knew from this book.
Idel, not that kind of girl.
I'm always getting into trouble for having titles with the word girl in them, Sean, but I can't resist. So this one is by Lena Dunham, who people will know from her television programme Girls, which was this huge phenomenon on HBO. It's still running, I think, third or fourth season's coming now in January. But this is her memoir. She was paid $3.7 million in an advance for it last year. So it's coming out at the end of the month. And if anyone likes, say, Caitlin Moran, they might like this. But I think she's even better. I would compare her to Nora Ephron.
Really?
Yeah. And she's written for The New Yorker. She writes very funny stuff about her own life for The New Yorker. And I wouldn't be put off if you don't like Girls. I think this stuff is very different. It's very much a humorous thing because Girls can be very nasty and it's very, it can be very dislikable. But this is very much just comedy. And also Nora Ephron has a new one. Or the late Nora Ephron. It's called The Most of Nora Ephron. So if you're interested in her, that might be a nice collection to get to.
Rob, back to you. Munich Airport by Greg Baxter.
Yes, now this is Greg Baxter's third book. He's an American who moved to Ireland some years ago and wrote a scandalous and very unforgettable memoir called A Preparation for Death. And then he wrote a second book called The Apartment, which was a lot more calm and maybe not as visceral. But his third book, Munich Airport, may well be his best book, in my opinion. It's a very atmospheric, quite grim, somber story about an American businessman who was called to Munich, where he has received the shocking news that his sister has starved to death in her apartment. So he goes and meets his father, and he spends a few dark and somber weeks trying to prepare the funeral arrangements for his dead sister. But it's a very searching novel, a very well-written novel, and emotionally powerful.
Okay, now you've got a the next choice is one that surprised me, Dan.
Ah, did it, Sean? Well, I'm deeply spiritual. You may not have noticed that, but Michel Quast, he was a very famous priest. He's dead now. He died in 97. French priest who rose to fame in the 70s in Ireland, the 60s and 70s. He even came here in the 70s, but he wrote prayer books that were just a little bit more accessible. They weren't all that kind of like strict sort of religious stuff, even though they very much have that Dear Lord sort of opening. But they're really prayers for modern life.
And he previously had one called Prayers of Life. I think a lot of people would remember that.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. And this one's called Keeping Hope, and it's published by Gillan Macmillan. And it's basically called, the subtitle is Favourite Prayers for Modern Living. I'm a big fan of prayer books, of things like Anne Lamott, who writes very prayers accessible to people who may not have religion in their lives, who may be living secular lives. But they're very calming. They kind of give you a bit of hope. They give you a bit of perspective, I find. And there's lots of brilliant sort of sections as well, titles like I'm Growing Old, Lord, or Reasons to Live is another section, No Room for Discouragement. So lots of things that we all go through, loneliness, stress, things like that are all addressed in this.
I suspect you reckon this could be a bit of a selling, a big seller, as there was one, I think, was it from the Poor Clares?
The Poor Clares, that was a phenomenal seller, which came out about 2 years ago. I think they did a prayer book.
Poor Clares in Galway.
Yes, exactly. And I think you had a good quip about that earlier on.
So they sold so many, we'd be calling them the rich Clares.
Sorry. Indeed, but I think this would be a nice one.
It's called Keeping Hope by Michel Quast.
Quast, and it's just a very contemplative, nice book for modern living.
Hubert Butler, The Apple Man and the Poet.
Yes, now this is the fifth volume of essays from Hubert Butler, the late Hubert Butler. He died in 1991, but this Butler was really one of the major Irish intellectuals and writers of the 20th century, although he only started getting published in his 80s. But he had a lifetime of essays on history, on social subjects, on Irish history, which have been published down the years by the Lilliput Press. And he lived a very rich, well-travelled life. He helped, he lived in Vienna during the war, where he helped to kind of expedite the escape of a lot of Jews from the city. He travelled through the USSR, and so he has a kind of, as I say, a lifetime of essays, and he's a very elegant and refined writer who has won very high praise from the likes of John Banville and Fintan O'Toole. Essays there on...
An overnight success in his 80s, Rob, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, another name with echoes from the earlier
from Vienna,
part of the last century, indeed, and Eastern Europe. Mr. Mac and Me by?
Esther Freud. Now, Esther Freud has is probably the biggest name dropper if she wants to be. Her great-grandfather was Sigmund. Her father is the painter, or was the painter, Lucian Freud. And she's related to Bella and Matthew and as many other Freuds as you care to mention, it seems. But she's a beautiful novelist. And she writes the kind of novels that you don't really see that much anymore. Like, they're very quiet, very understated, but very, very enjoyable to read. Quiet sort of reads is how it describes them. This one is the story of Charles Rennie Mackintosh, the Scottish architect and artist. And he goes to the small English town just as the Great War is breaking out, and he develops this friendship with this little boy who's from a family that's not incredibly happy. There's been lots of deaths of children in the family, and the mom and dad aren't incredibly happy either. So it's this wonderful little mentorship between those two, as well as a good sort of meditation on the Great War and what it did to small towns and villages in England. So.
Roberto Bolaño, a little lumpen novelita.
Yes, now Bolaño, the Chilean author, absolutely one of the great authors of the modern world. He died quite young in 2006, but he was extremely prolific. And so every year or so, they're publishing posthumously yet another novel that he wrote and didn't manage to publish in his lifetime, or only published in Spanish language in his lifetime. This one will be out next month. It's set in Rome, which is unusual for Bolaño. It's about a woman called Bianca, a married woman, a mother who lived a life of crime in her younger years. She was orphaned when her parents were killed in a kind of tragic car crash, and she kind of drifted with her young brother into a life of crime and disrepute. But it's exciting. He's always a wonderful writer. He has a very...
How accessible is he?
I find him very accessible. I understand he mightn't be everyone's cup of tea, but the great thing about Bolaño is there's a real sense of fun and wit in his books, constantly witty. He has a wild sense of imagination, a wild sense of humour. And his writing is, okay, it's kind of taking on the heritage of the avant-garde of the 20th century. He was a poet before he was a novelist, so his prose is kind of infused with French surrealistic poetry and so on. But at the same time, it's very clear, very accessible, and it's great fun.
Well, we take your word on that one. One by Ian McEwan, the title.
Yeah, well, he's very accessible as well, Ian McEwan, and he seems to have, for some reason, dropped off people's radars. He hasn't been on the Booker list this year at all, and he's got this new novel, and this is an incredibly short one. It's called The Children Act, and I don't know why he has dropped off people's radars, because there hasn't been a drop in quality. He still writes the same sort of great, compelling, moralistic sort of novels that he has always written, and this one is about a high court judge and the sort of the difference between her private life and her professional life. And she's her private life is kind of falling apart, and she's at a certain age as well. She's been married for 20 years and her husband decides he wants to have an affair. So there's all that stuff going on at home, and then she's judging on a case which is to do with health and religion. Say, you know, somebody needs to get a certain health procedure and the religion is getting in the way. So that's a very topical issue, but a very short book, only about 40,000 words. And I think we need to sort of remind ourselves that Ian McEwan is still a great novelist.
And finally on this one, Rob, The Lost Tribe of the Wicklow Mountains.
Yes, by Dave Lorden. Now, Dave Lorden is one of the most acclaimed of the younger Irish poets, and this is his third book of poems, and I would say it would really, it could well be his most popular and successful. It's a very accessible piece of this is a book of poems that you could read even if you've never read a poem in your life. You know, he's really trying to address contemporary themes which are quite universal. I mean, there are poems in here about being a father in dark times, you know, but there's a lovely poem about his daughter, about growing up in the west of Ireland, about the kind of looming spectre of suicide over Irish society. And he's really trying to do what kind of Heaney and Yeats did for their generations, for his own generation.
Quite a task to set himself, but you reckon he's getting there?
Well, he's certainly given it his best shot. He has a wonderful sense of lyricism, and again, it's wonderful because it's great poetry, but it's written, it's not academic or obscure.
You can understand it.
Dave Lorden.
Yeah, we're all a bit afraid of reading poetry.
Okay, Lost
and
Tribe
prayers.
I love the title, Lost Tribe of the Wicklow Mountains. Yes. I can think of a few places, but I'm not going to go there that might refer to. Look, we believe it there, Edel and Rob. Thank you very much indeed for coming. Sorry, just a quick word about some other ones that are coming out for next month.
Oh yeah, well, ones to watch out for, and we'll talk about them in more detail next month probably. Colm Tobin has a new one called Nora Webster, and also you've got the big sporting volumes coming, Roy Keane, The Second Half, which is written by Roddy Doyle, and Brian O'Driscoll's The Test.
Excellent, and I think Eamon Dunphy's Second Half is coming as well sometime fairly soon, maybe it's November. Look, we, as I say, leave it there. Rob Doyle, Edel Coffey, thank you both for being with us.